Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
My name is Nolan.
And this is episode number 92, and this is a special episode because it is a Patreon pool.
So a Patreon pool, if you're not familiar, is a chance for those patrons who support us well enough that we care about their opinions. I guess we care about all our patrons.
No, it's a
patron level reward for those who support us at a certain level to have a little bit more input into what games we play. Instead of letting the randomizer completely hold our fate, we want their input and to play some games that they care about, whether it's games they want to see us suffer through or games that they've enjoyed that they specifically want our opinions on. And so our patrons each submit a couple of game titles that they'd like, and then we have a smaller pool of games from those suggestions that we randomize. And so out of that process, we came to our game for the week.
Yeah, and we had about 7 or 8 Toe Jam and Earls in there. That was not the game that the randomizing gods selected. Instead, we played and we'll be discussing a different game. But first, we have 5 senses: vision, audition, gustation, olfaction, and somatosensation, or more commonly referred to as sight, hearing, taste, smell, and touch accordingly.
What about spidey sense?
Both of y'all are making jokes. Go ahead.
Which Asian is that? Which Asian is my spider sense?
Kenny, that one's fictional. I have a sixth sense, though.
Oh, it's fiction. He answered the question appropriately. Accidentally. That was great.
Nolan, what's your sixth sense?
I see dead people. I mean, it's kind of scary, but I live with it.
We'll put the sixth aside for now. For this conversation, out of those 5, if you had to, which could you do without?
Like, if I just get to choose to not have one?
You have to choose one of these that for the rest of your life you have to do without. Sight, hearing, taste, smell, and touch.
Smell.
Smell also affects your taste. Keep that in mind.
I know, but you still have taste. It'd be affected, but like, if I can't smell, like, you, that's good things and bad things.
Yeah.
Plus, I like eating.
But think about when you have, like, sinus problems, which you always do.
Perpetually.
And then think about, like, you can't really taste your favorite foods like you used to. I can't. It sometimes just doesn't taste like much. So I'm actually going with taste, because, like, if I'm going to lose smell, then it's also going to affect other senses. I'm going to lose taste, and then I can eat whatever I want.
Taste would be nice. You could just eat healthy,
yeah,
and it'd all be about texture, and you'd be like, hey, I'm doing great. It'd just be about, like, amounts you eat.
So
it could be kind of bonus good. I'd still go smell, though, for sure.
Interesting. You'd miss the pleasures of eating and you know, a large scale, but, huh.
Dustin, you would choose sight, wouldn't you?
Right. I mean, who needs sight, right? Like, no, obviously not. I came into this thinking that the correct choice is smell, but then Nolan put up a pretty good case for taste.
You might be damaging another one.
His argument stinks.
You wouldn't want to do without any of them, obviously. They're all crucial to the human experience, as you wouldn't want to do without the ability to jump in any platforming video game, as jumping is crucial to the platforming experience. Or
boom.
Is it?
No, it's not.
Find out in our retro video game of the week, Bionic Commando.
Overview.
When I told my wife that our video game was called Bionic Commando, she legit asked if it was a game about robots that don't wear, like, any underwear.
Did you tell her she's not really far funny. Off?
It was, and that's pretty much the plot.
We might find out that is what this game is about.
There's a few differences, aren't there, Nolan?
Oh, there might be. Let's see. Bionic Commando was an arcade game that was released by Capcom in 1987. They developed and published this game. That was released in Japan as Top Secret. That was the other names. So this game's actually got a few names. Last week we were joking about the fact that the NES port was originally called Hitler's Resurrection, colon top secret, because apparently top secret's not good enough. But luckily, once we get it in America, it was called Bionic Commando, and that was in 1988. And I'm sure that's what all three of us played this week, as the arcade version is, one, hard to get your hands on, and two, it's hard to get your hands on.
Also, three, the game is difficult and hard to get your hands on.
Very.
You guys should have tried using a grappling hook.
You've got to tone it down, son.
Yeah, I feel like he's reached his limit and we're only in the overview.
Yeah, right. We're just getting started.
I'm just getting started.
The game's creator is named Tokuro Fujiwara, and he is a major player for Capcom, or at least he was. His earlier title in the 80s was called Rock and Rope, and this was supposed to be a spiritual successor, I guess it's the popular term to use. He just wanted to expand on that idea, which I think also used the grappling hook or some of the same gameplay elements. He's got a pretty good catalog. He worked on Ghosts and Goblins, Bionic Commando, Resident Evil, and he was the main producer for the Mega Man series, or at least one of them. So,
wow.
He's kind of a big deal. And since then, he's left Capcom and did his own thing, started his own company or something.
I don't know if y'all feel the same, but any time that I turn on one of these older games and I see Capcom at the start, like, I'm pretty confident right away, right?
Because absolutely.
I usually get pretty hyped.
When you see, like, Capcom, I'm sure they had a few lemons here and there, but they kind of rocked the market back in the day and put out quality title after quality title.
I'd say they still do, like... It's more than just Street Fighter still. They have the zombie one, Dead Rising, which I think is a really, really fun series, and I recommend playing that. But yeah, Capcom has always just delivered on quantity and quality because they have so many games. Well, Bionic Commando is one of those games, and it's an action platformer. So we've already mentioned it a little bit, but the unique thing here, it's a platformer, but you cannot jump. So it seems like they took out a vital element to...
Like maybe the element in platforming video games.
Yeah.
Generally,
the defining thing that you need in a platformer, or that defines a platformer.
In platformers, you don't even need like an action or like attack button. Like think Mario, your main thing is jumping on things.
Right.
Well... They replaced the jumping mechanic with a grapple hook that you use to navigate the stage. And it's multi-leveled. There are enemies, but you cannot jump. You have to grapple to the thing above you and either swing and get over obstacles that way, or go up and get to that ledge.
So if that sounds difficult, you're right. It is. It's extremely difficult and feels extremely foreign at first.
At first, but by the time you get used to it, it's still difficult. But at some point, it quits feeling foreign, I think, and just feels unique.
Which we'll dissect more in our gameplay section, because that's the gameplay. It's trying to master that mechanic, because once you do, the rest of the game becomes increasingly easier, because that is the mechanic.
Right.
Absolutely. I think that's fair.
It takes a lot of getting used to and a lot of muscle memory. So, we'll see how each one of us handled that. I don't think I did too well. So, this backwards way of thinking about platformers, you've got your protagonist, Nathan Rad Spencer, or Lad, depending on translation errors. I don't know. It's another one of those Japanese-American things. I call him Rad. I think that's a universal thing.
It's a cooler name.
It's a cooler name, yeah.
I was more familiar with Lad because, either way, I think either of those names have two D's in it, which is perfect reflection of the enemies in this game. The Bads.
Bads, yeah. The Bads, Badds. So, okay, the story there is that...
Oh, great.
It's kind of a sequel to the first one, I guess. I didn't play the first one, but apparently Super Joe... was the character from 1, from Commando, actually. And he has been sent off to investigate the Bads, Generalissimo Kilt, the leader.
That's a name, by the
That's
way.
That's a name, sorry. He's like the dictator who is... The game was originally called Hitler's Resurrection, so I can only imagine he's supposed to be a 1980s version of Hitler, because aren't we in the 80s? 1980X?
I don't know if Kilt is the guy, but in the game you get to a guy that is in a pod that is being kept alive, and once he gets out of that pod, he has a pencil-thin mustache. Well, he's got a really small mustache and a combed-over short haircut.
So there's somebody that's probably just implied to be Hitler. NPC. They just didn't actually name him that after the lawyers got through it or whatever.
Well, even the icons and the visual representations are now mere pixels away from Nazi symbols.
Oh god! Yeah, the little banners in the back. Like, come on.
Yeah, the bad guys in this game are clearly Nazis.
They're Nazis.
Bads. Well, the Bads, find this old top secret plan called Albatross that never got carried out. And at first you don't know what the contents are of that, but the good guys clearly don't want that to be carried out. So they send you to, well, they send Super Joe to investigate. He goes missing. So now you, Rad, have to go rescue Super Joe and also try and figure out what's going on with Albatross.
Well, and... this is just a wild guess, so correct me if I'm wrong, but sending in one person at a time might not be the best strategy here.
Yeah, that's like, really stupid.
It didn't work with Super Joe, and to fix the problem, send in another solo guy? Like, I don't know. There might be some better alternative.
Yeah, who do these guys think they are? They're not
It feels super 80s to me. Just the whole, like, taking on the Nazis and that, like, you know, that, like, being the theme, even if it's not overtly stated, and then, like, sending in a single commando, you know, to just go in and clean everything up.
Kind of feels Rambo to me.
Yeah, it's got that whole Rambo, like, that's just what was cool then, you know, was this drop in one elite force behind enemy lines and let them just do their thing. And as much as it doesn't make sense, I'm with you, it kind of was the thing at the time.
Gameplay.
First thing that catches me off guard with this is you're presented, right after the kind of the story sets things up, you're presented with this overhead map that looks a lot like a board game. Like, that's kind of what it was reminiscent of to me. It's just numbers that are in these squares, and they're different colored, and you don't know exactly why. And then there's these moving green, like military trucks on this, from going from number to number across these lines. So that what you end up finding out is that is that's the map. That's
right. You basically have an overworld map of where you're navigating, of the bases and how you're going to infiltrate the enemy.
And there are 12 stages of combat and 7 neutral zones, which a game having a neutral zone where both good guys and bad guys can be in there but must not fight each other, because if they do, you've got this army raining down on top of you from the sky to tell you not to do that. And it's very cool because it also progresses the story, because there's one time where I went into a neutral zone and a guard and that Imperial leader Kilt was walking through, and they walk right past you.
I was really tempted to just try and shoot him and see if it would
just take
the
him
game.
Out there.
Yeah, because that's the dude. Totally. Like that's so game. Tempting to just be like, I'm about to end this game right now.
Right. But you don't do that. In the neutral zones, it's kind of a rest spot. In some of them, you can get an item that will be beneficial in one of the other combat stages. You can sometimes get health pods and different things like that.
Did it take you guys a little while to figure out the whole neutral zone thing? Because I walked in and it was clearly different, but as soon as I saw somebody standing there, I tried to start shooting them. And that turns out really poorly.
I did a first play this week, and you can find that on our YouTube channel, and you'll see my first interaction with a neutral zone. I didn't know what was going on. The guy explained that it was a neutral zone, but then a guy in red starts coming at me, like looking like he's coming at me with a knife is kind of that animation.
Right.
So I'm backing up, like what's about to happen. I let him walk past me, and then I realize, okay, it really is a neutral zone.
That's I don't know so how funny. I feel about that mechanic. I guess it's a unique thing, but again, that's another... counterintuitive mechanic for a platformer because you see a bad guy and you shoot. Yeah,
I really liked it. Yeah, once you kind of learned it, it sort of set some more of the world. It gave them some more ways to talk to you and to develop story without you, you know, feeling forced to find more of the communicators. It just, it was a welcome break, and it gave them the option to give you places to go so that you could have some strategy as you were navigating that overworld map in case you were trying to avoid the enemy convoys. Whereas if they'd only had, like, do this levels and you didn't have as many options of places to navigate to, you didn't almost have that sort of mini game of how do I want to get around this map? What order do I want to do things in?
Let's talk about that map just a little more, because what it actually reminded me some of was the overworld map from Super Mario Brothers 3. If you can reflect back to that, it's a lot more detailed in that game, but it's a later game. And I think there's even numbers on the stages that you're moving across. And while you're doing it, there's a couple enemies on each map that are moving as well, so that you can come across and battle.
And you can choose to skip certain areas if you need to. You can choose which route you're navigating stuff and some roaming enemies. And so I hadn't made that correlation, but it does seem like a very early version of how Mario 3 tried to handle their game.
Yeah, that's great. I did not think of that, but you're right. The little enemies that are
like Koopas.
They're Koopas and they're like the Hammer Bros. Yeah. It's like RNG how they move after you beat a level. Totally.
And so, Kenny, you kind of mentioned it. You can pass up stages in this, in Bionic Commando. When you land on a stage, you've got two options. They say, please instruct us, and then you can either descend and go to that neutral or that combat stage, or you can transfer. And so you can transfer to any stage in the entire game. You might not be able to actually play that stage once you descend because it might require an item or two that you get from previous stages, neutral or combat.
You can't just transfer your way all the way to the last level and then jump a few things and kill the boss. You have to unlock some items to progress. You know, there's some things you need. So ultimately, there's levels that aren't skippable, but there are some that are completely optional. But just may net you something that helps with the other levels in terms of items or equipment.
That's an interesting way to handle progression, especially for an NES title. It's, again, completely off of what you're used to, but in this game it worked as far as like managing how you're going to go through the game. And then when it's not punishing when you realize, oh, I needed something. It's not that punishing. So I thought it was actually a really, really unique way to handle progression.
Yeah. All right. So we kind of dealt heavily with the overworld map. Now I think we need to talk about the mechanic that sets this game apart from all the others. We've mentioned it, but it is that grappling hook. It's that bionic arm mechanic that the name of the game derives.
Comes from.
And then also the mechanic that really sets this game apart from all of these other platformers.
Absolutely. And not just a little bit. Like it defines how they did level design. It defines the way that they increased difficulty throughout the game. It really is the driving mechanic of this game. And so if you can't picture grappling hook when we say that, what it basically is kind of a rope looking thing that shoots out from your character, originates your character, goes in a straight line, kind of like a gun would, and has a somewhat limited range. And depending on what it hits, interacts with things in different ways. For the most part, it's going to hook onto something and then let you either swing on that rope, think Tarzan style, or let you pull yourself up towards the spot that you've anchored to. And then you can do combinations of that. So you can shoot out your arm, attach to something, pull yourself a little bit of the ways, and then swing, but not quite as far. And so it really has lots of complexity for something that seems really basic.
There's one or two other things that you can do with it.
Yeah.
And you might not catch this unless it's an accident, but if you crouch and shoot your arm straight and it grabs onto a barrel or something in front of you, you can tap that button again and it pulls your character over to that barrel.
Absolutely.
Also, in reverse, if there's an item that drops or something, you can use your bionic arm to grab that item and bring it to you.
So cool. You can knock enemies back with it.
Stun them, yeah.
Yeah, certain enemies, certain ways. When you're on the when you're fighting the truck levels, the top down view levels that we didn't really talk about, but are super cool. You get to swing it in a circle and like knock back enemies and knock back certain projectiles. It's really, really versatile, but also a little bit limited because there's like this momentum mechanic where if you've pulled yourself all the way up to the top of your rope,
you're stuck.
You can't do anything. You can either go to the level above you or fall straight down.
Straight
but
down.
But if you're swinging, you can continue to swing and then let go, and your momentum lets you land somewhere or shoot your arm out again and then swing again, kind of Spider-Man-esque. And so lots of complexity for a mechanic that seems pretty straightforward.
An important part of that, at least getting used to it, is the momentum aspect. So jumping across gaps, as you can imagine, it's plentiful. Like you're constantly having to do it, but keep in mind you're also having to shoot enemies and dodge enemies. So it's not just a simple navigation game. It's a platformer where you cannot jump. So like mastering that momentum of how far you need to swing and then predict where you're going to land became one of the biggest issues for me. But once I got Absolutely. Used to it, I actually love this mechanic.
So you got used to it.
I got used to it after a while. It took me a good bit, but I love this because
it's still
it's
hard,
unique.
But I really enjoyed it as well. There's places where they make it mandatory as you go through the game. Like there's places where if you haven't figured out that Spider-Man move of throw yourself swing and keep moving, that you literally can't progress. They force you to learn how to do this mechanic well.
I'll tell you where it's super duper annoying. Is when there's just like one barrel in front of you and you just want to get over it.
Yeah.
Like, but I missed my jump at that point. I was like, okay, I get the swinging over gaps and going up, but let me jump over the stupid barrel. Like, really?
So for me, I played throughout the entire week and I beat my first stage last night. Nolan, first of all, don't make faces. You already know I'm bad at these platforming games.
But stage one?
Yeah, I beat a few stages last night after I beat stage one, but I didn't beat stage one until last night. Because I couldn't get this grappling mechanic. It was so foreign to me. I wasn't able to realize what it was. And I didn't just do stage one all throughout the week. I moved to stage four. I went to stage 13. I moved around some to try to do some things, but I didn't beat a stage until last night. I also wasn't using save states, which makes it easier to beat, obviously.
Oh yeah, this is a difficult game. To truly progress without them is you're replaying a lot and you're really mastering it.
Especially difficult because you don't start the game with any continues. If you die, it's game over, which is...
I ran into a little bit of the same vibe with this as we did with Rygar, which is early on, the game's actually more punishing because you haven't gotten one-ups. Because you haven't gotten the bigger health bar, which grows as you like collect ammunition and kill enemies, and you haven't collected items to help save you or progress differently. Like the early levels, as much as they were simpler, were more punishing to fail. And so if you do get to where you could do those early levels well and kind of get into the game, it had a little bit of momentum to let you go and go. But it's still a very difficult game. Playing through it without being able to save progress would have been a long-term kind of investment.
We mentioned in passing, but it's connected to what we're talking about right now. So you don't start the game with continues. However, you can obtain continues, but only through certain stages. And it's not your standard stages. We've talked about these enemy convoys that are constantly moving on the overworld map. When you cross over them, you go into a battle, and it changes things up entirely, which is... Some people might dislike this because it's different than the rest of the game.
No,
I absolutely loved it.
In fact,
when it came on, I was like, I could play a whole game this. Yeah.
There are games just in that style. There's literally a whole game of that, and there's literally games that are a whole game of platformers. And to get both and to have both done well was amazing. And have unique elements in both? Get out of town.
Can you mention it? But it's a top-down view where you're just going from the beginning of the stage to the top and you've got enemies shooting at you and you're shooting. So it's a top-down shooter, but you can swing the grapple. The grapple does not disappear in this stage, which is great that they kept that theme going, and you can just swing it in a circle. It's awesome. I really, really liked those stages.
And if you've got a gun upgrade, then that's the kind of bullets that you're shooting on that stage as well.
The spread. Yeah. You could shoot three.
You get the spread horizontal as opposed to in the platformers, you get it vertical. And so you get a rocket launcher that, you know, goes through things on those stages if that's what you're sporting. I think that's the last mechanic that we haven't really talked about is all the items you can find and weapon upgrades. So what did you guys like? What did you think of how they handled that? You know, let's talk about that mechanic a bit.
Yeah, so before you are dropped into a stage, you've got a few screens where you're able to select which weapon you bring with you, which accessory, and which item
and which communicator. No, there were four things. Like that. Yeah.
Okay, four things, and so you get to select that each time. I only had a few weapon selections. I had that that three weapon spread from beating the really first boss. I had my regular gun. I had a potion that I could take that I think would refill health. Yep. And I had a couple different communicators. So I didn't have the full widespread selection of items and weapons that you get to choose from once you collect everything. But I had some choices.
Yeah. I found a few more. And this is also one of those games that I did take the time to download the booklet.
Nice.
So I was familiar with what some of the things did beforehand. And on those classic NES games, when it's available, they assumed you had that knowledge so much that I've gotten in the habit of doing that. And it helped a lot in this game because it did give me a sense of what items there were and how they worked. And it was beneficial. But a huge slew of items that like either keep you safe or refill your health. And yet you have to make strategic choices sometimes about which item to take made this simple platformer feel a lot more immersive, almost RPG-ish. And I loved that.
Something I can't excuse for platformers is if they don't have solid enemy variety. So I look at Mega Man for my standard, and that's pretty
standard.
What did you guys think of the variety of like enemies in this game? So you do have bosses, but we haven't talked about what they are. But then you just have normal enemies to fight. Do you think there's a good balance?
No, I don't think so. Variety is not the thing that sets this game apart in the enemy. Because here's the thing. Fighting enemies is not the primary mechanic or primary focus of this game. They're secondary to the grappling mechanic. Your primary thing that you're doing in your stages are maneuvering. The enemies are secondary, and if you duck down, or it's fairly easy to dodge their attacks and then take them out.
Yeah, and later there start becoming some enemies that are a little bit more unique, but most of the time the way that they are unique is forcing you to navigate around them. Like they're throwing bombs that you have to like jump over, and by jump I mean you can't jump. You have to like perfectly like hitting these little trampolines if you want to avoid them. There's enemies that like if you're not careful as you're progressing up levels will like knock you down off of your grappling hook. And so I think they do a lot better job than a lot of games on enemy variety, personally. But they tended to have enemies that further made you focus on that arm, not just like different enemies for different enemies' sake. And so it may not have been Mega Man level good, but I found the variety, for the most part, pretty solid. Though it took a little while to get there.
I bring it up because the bosses, They throw some different things at you. So there's one boss that looks like a SWAT guy, but he has a grapple that he will shoot up at you. So that was that threw me off a little bit. I was like, all right. I just think they could have done so much more. Because outside of those bosses, which it's hard to call them that, it's just a Metroid ripoff where you have to shoot the machine to beat the level. And so I just think there could have been more difficulty in that, because later there's a really cool looking boss. It's like it looks like a helicopter kind of, and it like shoots at you, and it's kind of hard to dodge, but I killed it in like three hits with that weapon upgrade. So
that was my only problem with the bosses was basically that they were optional. Like I thought they did some unique things, but the fact that you could just pretty much ignore the boss and go and kill the little part at the end and blow it up, and then you have succeeded in beating that boss battle, really made it more for me about avoiding the boss, except when you had to, and then doing damage to that little core. And if they changed that mechanic so that you had to beat the boss before they could take damage, it would have been a lot more difficult, but those boss fights would have been a lot more interesting.
Aged. In a discussion about how this game is aged, you talk about graphics, you talk about music, which we'll do some of, but I think for platformers, you talk about, does it still hold up to platforming standards? Is it you know, mechanically sound still today, or does time break some of those things? Mm-hmm. And for me, I think that after you get a hang of this bionic arm, which might take some time because it's reprogramming of your mind and fingers and muscle memory to be able to accomplish that. But once you start getting a hang of it, there is so much fluidity in these stages. And even if you're able to master it far beyond what I was able to do in a single week, I could see an insane amount of fun. Like, I didn't think about it this week, and I've also kind of scoffed some as you've mentioned Spider-Man this week because it's very, very different, but you can get that kind of really cool feeling of navigation if you're able to master this one mechanic in this game, and I think that it holds up to today.
It makes you feel cool. Like, if you're pulling off some sweet jumps, like, I actually felt kind of cool when I pulled off something difficult.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or you're falling and save yourself, or you find a creative way that, like, you've got to really hit those marks perfectly, but if you do, you can kind of get around an obstacle instead of taking it on head on. And here's the thing. A lot of times you get a unique mechanic like this, and because it's unique and people aren't used to it, they tend to be glitchy or buggy. Maybe that's just me. This thing felt rock solid in terms of its performance, of what it was going to hit, how your character was going to react. And so once you learned those things, it felt good. You know what I mean? It felt responsive, and it was just done well.
Yeah, it's not like a, oh, we have this unique idea, let's throw together a game and it'll sell itself. No, you can tell it's a quality game. They spent the time developing it, working out the bugs, making sure it's playable, and you can tell it's great.
Nolan, did you enjoy the soundtrack and the music as much as I did? Remember, we've got to remember that this is NES. This is NES, guys. This is 88. Did you enjoy the music, the variety of music, the quality of music? You're a big music guy. That's why I asked.
Yeah, for sure. I did. I never get tired of it. I thought it fit the tone. I was bobbing to it. Yeah, it's a great soundtrack. But I actually am more impressed with the graphics in this case.
In my opinion, near perfect for the NES.
Yes, yes.
On both fronts.
On both fronts.
The look, it was pretty but not overly complex. Like, we've seen some games that are
colorful,
that are prettier, you know, that you can tell they wanted to put more art into. But for the platforming kind of game and what they were trying to communicate, the difference between having good-looking levels, decent-looking cutscenes that give you the story, you know, the overworld map, the top-down, the variety of things that they pulled off well visually was stunning.
And with the music, they do something that is so smart to do, and I feel like difficult to do as well, but each stage has varied music, and so it doesn't get too repetitive. And then it varies depending on the severity of the level and the significance of how deep you are into the game and how difficult the level will be. So it goes from more of a happy tune to more of a ominous tune to something that's like very pressing late game. And I just think that's brilliant.
Absolutely.
That's when you know, like, sound design and soundtrack is working how it's supposed to, when you actually take the time to put in that level of care. It just adds to the gameplay. Like, when it starts enhancing other areas of the game, that's when you know the smart people worked on this on a game. But yeah, the graphics are so impressive. There's a great variety. It's not just one theme either. Like, you go into this like sewer and there's like water mechanics down there, and like you go outside to like a more green area. It's like,
oh, they put really tons of little detail thought into it. The snow mechanic, where like as you walk further, sinking, you sink, kind of quicksand, but a different take on it. And then those little water blobs that carry you along, and they really, really did some unique things with this title. It's clearly a very well loved, intentionally designed title.
I think one of the few things that didn't age well was just in their errors in the beginning. So with the dialogue and their translation of the dialogue, and even in their portrayal of the text on the screen, often you will get one screen of text and the sentence isn't finished until you go to the next screen, and It's cut off and weird. And then some of the word, there's some misspellings. There's some
a few places even in the booklet where like you could almost tell it was a translation, but a poorly done one, or it felt like that to me. The text, the way they handled text was not really good. I actually agree, Dustin. You said the one thing that didn't age well, and I kind of scoffed. I was like, everything aged well in this game. It was awesome. And when you brought that up, I realized, nah, I'll give it one negative.
It would sometimes be one word, like, we need you to go infiltrate the enemy and save Super, wait 5 seconds, Joe.
Right.
Like, put it on earlier when I reworded it, that was really comical. That happened all throughout the game.
Yeah, to me, it wasn't immersion breaking or game breaking or anything. It was funny to me.
Yeah.
And
it almost sort of put you back in that era. It made the game feel old and retro. Like, without a few of those little things, this game would almost feel like a game designed today with a retro like skin and theme and vibe like they do. It almost is that clean and well done. But then you see things like that and you're reminded, no, this was an NES title.
And then another thing that I kind of had to laugh, roll my eyes at, was the little terminals that you find throughout the stages. You can communicate with your team and they give you tips on where to go and what to do. And then you can wiretap to listen to the enemy. And it's always like, they're like, go to area 4 and find this. And you wiretap and they're like, send a squad to area 4, kill anybody that comes in. And it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
But it was another funny thing.
Furthermore, it's got some legacy, which is important to talk about in our section on age. Nintendo Power Magazine back in the day ranked it 17th best NES game, which is huge.
It's pretty high.
Yeah. A portable adaptation came out for the Game Boy in 1992. And then in 2008, which not too long ago, there was a remake of the game and they titled it Bionic Commando Rearmed. Came out for the PS3, Xbox 360, and PC.
That's funny that it was called that, because also someone believed in the story because the game was made into a novel by a guy named J.B. Stamper. It was based off the NES game and the guy loses his arm in a ninja attack.
Nice.
So they stayed lore appropriate?
Yeah, I guess so. But there really was a legacy, or at least at the time it was received really well. And I've heard of Bionic Commando, and I know Bill is probably going to have something to say at the end of the episode because he really wanted us to play this.
Before we find out what Bill says, he's going to find out what we say in our final section, where we either give or withhold our vote for New Game Plus status.
The final shell shock.
So men, here we are. It's either a thumbs up or thumbs down. Do you suggest our viewers go and find a copy of this game and play it because it is worth it, or to reserve their retro gaming time for a different title altogether? We'll start with myself, and then we'll go down the line. Kenny and Nolan, we'll just do that. I think it's a brilliant game. Few could argue with that. I think your argument might come with how difficult and foreign the grappling mechanic is, and I would agree with you there. But if you can overcome that diverse and difficult maneuvering mechanic, and as you do so, it becomes more and more rewarding and feels so, so good. And so in my opinion, Bionic Commando is not only a game that you should play, it's a must-have, it's a must-play, and I give it my New Game Plus seal of approval.
So what I haven't told you guys is that I played this game a bunch as a kid. And so I not only got... I was a little bit
Bill.
I
didn't, the end of the podcast.
I didn't realize that until I turned the game on this week. I hadn't remembered the title of the game. And so I was like, oh, another NES game. And when the title came on and then I got that music, especially, you know, music and memory, just like, I flashbacked so hard and I got really, really, really hyped. Sometimes that's a bad thing, though, because games have a hard time living up to the expectations. But I got to say, I think in this case, Nintendo Power missed it. Like, ranking it 17th best game overall, I can't think of 16 games that were better than it.
That's a good point.
I can think of a few.
That's cool.
But I don't know if I could put even 16 games ahead of this game. I am so impressed with this game. It held up perfectly. You know, my coming in with high expectations didn't work against me. It's creative. It hits it on all the different levels. It's challenging, but it's still engaging. It gives you choices and immersion, but still feels accessible. Like, there's a reason I said this game feels like a game done today that's skinned to be old, and it's because it was a game that was ahead of its time. I don't know if I've been as impressed with a game that we've played in a long time, and I give this one all kinds of my thumbs up. Super, super, super New Game Plus, if there was such a status for me. Loved this game.
Nolan?
Yeah, I need to see that list. I want to see the rest of what Nintendo Power had to say on that.
Tom is one of our viewers. Send us that list. Oh, he's a big Nintendo Power guy.
He'll have it. Well, I want to argue with you guys because it's fun, but there's no way I'm arguing about this one because it's just too good. It was incredibly fun. I really sat down. I didn't use save states either, and I wanted to see how far I could get, and when I failed, I'd do it again because it was that much fun. The music is great. The graphics are impeccable for the NES. Underrated by far, because we should hear more talk about this game than we do. And I give him a New Game Plus. I think you should play it.
That's three Bionic Arms up, and we definitely give it our vote for New Game Plus status.
Bill's rejoicing all over the country.
Speaking of Bill, since this was a Patreon pool and it was Bill's submission, let's read his email first. He said, "Hey guys, I'm so glad you picked this game this week. I hope you enjoyed it, but I understand if you made the wrong decision and didn't give it New Game Plus status. This was the game I recommended when you guys had me on the show a year ago, so it's awesome that it got picked."
That is awesome.
You remember we had three of our loyal viewers on at that time to celebrate our first year. Yeah. "I had a marathon last night and quickly remembered why I liked this game as a six-year-old. It's super fun to swing around on the grappling hook. I'll leave the professional commentary to you all, but I hope everyone enjoyed the game this week. Your hero, Bill."
That's a
best way to sign off. And yes, Bill, you are in fact our hero. Thank you for the suggestion. It was a great game. Yeah. Like, you just gave us such a fun experience this week.
Seriously, thank you. Thank you, because unlike Kenny, I missed this game.
And I never would have played it either.
It's not a game that I played. And so this week when I first started, I it was kind of grinding on me because it was so foreign that I was like, I don't like this. But as I began to, my level of enjoyment of the game rose with my level of understanding the mechanic of grappling. And it just continued to go through the roof. We received another message from Jeffrey. "One of the true NES classics alongside my beloved Castlevania. Capcom is a huge part of my childhood, and so is this mighty game. It is super challenging, but for NES, this game sure looks and plays nice."
Absolutely. Wow, that's good. A summary really of our thoughts.
Interesting point to bring up Castlevania. I don't know if they were even comparing the two, but there are definitely some elements of Super Castlevania in this game with the grapple. That's a big part of Castlevania, and so I like that.
I would say I'd be really okay if Netflix decided to create a show based on this game.
Wait, have you watched Castlevania yet?
No, I just know it Either exists. No.
Yeah, I need to watch it.
I didn't even play the games, so yeah. Dylan sent in a message. He said, "I liked the grappling hook concept, but as I'm sure y'all have mentioned, it is completely useless when the screen is flooded with enemies. This reminded me of a game we played a couple of weeks ago where the screen would flood with enemies and the only way to clear them would be to step off screen." Is that Rygar?
Yeah.
Was that the one where you could despawn enemies?
Yeah.
"The amount of enemies made this game impossible for me. At least impossible without unlimited continues. I completed the game on 30 to 45 minutes my first playthrough, but I also probably used 30 or more lives to do so. I found that after you die, you parachute in and you can drop further along than you really were, which was the only way I made it through. The game is insanely difficult. Unless you have unlimited lives, don't play."
Did he play the NES version?
Yeah, he said he did.
Hmm.
That's definitely drops you different. Back into the level.
Well,
there might be some places where that's sort of exploitable, but I never noticed that.
It sounds like he shot in the neutral area.
there's a good chance
they just
flooded with enemies.
Well, yeah, so if I had unlimited continues and could be dropped in at certain points, it would make the game more enjoyable. It'd make it a lot less difficult. So I don't know, I think maybe there's a balance in there. I think they could have given you some continues to begin with, kind of even it out a little bit, so it's not as punishing up front.
But again, they let you earn some of that stuff.
And yeah, but so you don't know where to get it at first.
No, you got to learn. It's definitely an NES kind of title where you're jumping in and it's not holding your hand, you know.
Right.
But not impossibly difficult.
I've come to realize I think I like harder games than easy games. I prefer that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a complaint, but There's other mechanics at play that are bothering me. Hard games are fun.
I'm a middle ground kind of guy.
Yeah, there's a middle ground for me too. Like it can be punishing, and if it feels like punitive, like I would tell someone to play this game to hurt them.
I mean, you know? That's the point of Dark Souls, so maybe avoid that one.
Right. I have
also
so
Battletoads, so maybe avoid that one.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
We got a final email from Jan. He said, "Hey, guys, I played Bionic Commando, and I'm having a really hard time getting used to the grappling hook. I kept thinking, let's jump over this cliff. Oh, wait, I can't." They probably thought replacing jump with the grappling hook was a good idea. Some people will probably like it. I cannot say that I do. I'm having a really hard time using it diagonally. To me, it feels like a restriction. More like a restriction than an advantage. It's not all bad, though. The translation is pretty funny at times. The music is nice. The graphics are, too. Unfortunately, the controls are killing it for me. I might need to practice some more on how to use it, but until then, no vote for NGP for me.
I love that we have the other opinion, the other side of the spectrum.
Absolutely.
And it's totally fair.
It's fair, yeah, yeah.
If you cannot get that mechanic, this game is going to be miserable for you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But if you're willing to push through, persevere, and figure out that grappling hook.
Yeah, I think you'll have fun with it.
Great fun to be had in this game.
But we're always allowed to let everyone have their opinions.
No, we're not.
Thank you guys for sending in your thoughts this week. If you would like to play our next retro game of the week with us and send in your thoughts, we would love to include them as a part of our podcast. It's one of the best parts of the episodes when we're able to interact with and see what our viewers thought of the game that we're playing. So yeah. Make sure to send that in to ngppodcast@gmail.com, and we would love to include it as a part of our show next week. But for now, we are going to randomly select our next game. And it's not a Patreon pool, so this is a much wider swath of games that can be selected in this next retro game of the week.
What if it's Toe Jam Earl?
That would be crazy.
You can only hope.
That would be nuts.
That would our patrons would freak out.
Spinning the randomizer now. It is a 1998 game.
N64.
Developed by BioWare. For the PC.
PC game then. Yeah, that's a PC title. Late 90s PC games. I'm a little hyped.
It takes place in a high fantasy setting that is modified version of Dungeons & Dragons, the second edition. It is a fantasy role-playing video game called Baldur's Gate.
That's a humongous title. And we're gonna crap on it. I'm way too scared.
Yeah, there's no way I'm playing this.
People are going to hate us forever for this one.
We're not going to like it, huh?
I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know.
I played some of the second one way back in the day and have fine memories of that one. But I know the first one was way early.
Outside of this Bionic Commando, we've been steeped in high fantasy for a while, I feel.
I know.
And then on top of that, I've been reading and watching Lord of the Rings stuff. So, like, I'm just...
So, would you just say that lately this has been a fantastic podcast?
All right.
At least it wasn't a Bionic arm pun. Like,
well, that was a good one.
He didn't have to reach for that one.
That was great. Oh, there it is.
I gotta get out of here. Thanks, patrons. See you next week.
We do want to thank our Patreons, especially because this is an episode that is, you know, due to you guys. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your continued belief in what we're doing. As we're nearing 100 episodes, it's becoming more and more real that you guys are the backbone of what we do. And some of you have been here from the start. Let me just say, since this game that we played this week is due to Bill submitting it, just throwing this out there, Bill is one of our patrons that has been here from the beginning. If you go back and look at our first episode submissions, he's even commenting on some of those early ones. Bill's been here from the start. Some of you have been here from the start or nearby to that. Whether you're brand new to the team or you've been here since the Genesis, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Wouldn't that be from the NES or the Atari? Or the Apple II?
Special thanks to our producers who are our top patrons. They have a hand in everything that we do. They help us to make these episodes even better every week for you. I'm sorry I just did an arm pun.
I don't think you get it. Genesis was a console?
Please, no, can no, you
it
keep
happened
going.
Way later.
Thank you, guys.
We got to get out of here.
That's Bradley, that's Zaka, and that's Gimbarino. We love you guys. Thank you so much for your heightened support.
Yes. Hop in our Discord this week if you would like to chat on the daily with us and our viewers. We're in there on a regular basis. Kenny's even been in there recently. It's crazy, guys.
I'll drop in. I've been in there less. Up. He's actually outdoing me.
And make a terrible joke.
Yeah, might even swing in or whatever. But, dude, you can find those links on our social media, on our website, ngppodcast.com. Also Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, or any other podcast provider of your choice. Make sure to subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. Leave a kind 5-star review if you find it appropriate. It always helps to let other people know about our podcast, what we're doing, and be able to join the team as well.
And that's free to you. It's not going to cost an arm and a leg.
He just decided he's going to do it too, and Kenny doesn't even approve of it.
I hate myself.
Kenny doesn't even approve of it. Join us next week as we play Baldur's Gate. Until then, I can't say I'm Hitler, can I?
Absolutely not.
No, you can't.
We will not have that.
Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus.